Well, that's the next episode in AD. I don't know if anybody's watching that on Sunday night. I absolutely love this show. It has it's a great way to just see the gospel visually, but also understand some of the interpersonal dynamics. So let's read the scripture that this video precedes the next story that I'm going to tell you from Acts chapter 8. And it begins in verses 26 through 40. That's what we're going to read today. Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 26. It says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in the chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, 'Go to that chariot and stay near it.' Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. 'Do you understand what you are reading?' Philip asked. 'How can I?' he said, 'unless someone explains it to me.' So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading the passage of scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. And the eunuch asked Philip, 'Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?' Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'Look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?' And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, O God, for this story of an obedient servant and a hungry heart. I pray, God, that this word today would encourage us not only in sharing our faith, but just to have the eyes to see those that hear, and they need to hear the gospel. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. There was the story told that there was a young man that attended a prayer service. The names have disappeared over the time that this story has been shared over the years, but this man was at a prayer service, and at the prayer service, they heard the story about Samuel, the young man Samuel, in the care at the temple. And as Samuel was hearing the story, hearing the voice of the Lord, he didn't understand that it was the voice of the Lord calling his name, Samuel. And then finally he said, "Here I am, Lord." So this young man had heard the story about Samuel, and so after he heard this message, he said, "You know, God, if you speak to me, I will obey." So on the way home, as he's driving home, he hears a voice say, "Buy a gallon of milk." And he keeps driving, because now it's unsettling. He's in his car, and he hears it again, "Buy a gallon of milk." So he goes, "This is crazy. But I'm going to go buy a gallon of milk because I hear I'm being told to buy a gallon of milk." So he buys a gallon of milk. And then he continues to drive along, and then he hears the voice again, "Turn down this street and stop at the end." Now he's starting to doubt himself. Am I going nuts? Is this just me? All right, I'll do it. I'll turn down the street and I'll stop at the end. And then the voice says, "Take the milk to that house." So now he's like, this is three things. I'm just going to go. I'm going to do what this voice I'm hearing is telling me to do. So he picks up the gallon of milk, gets out of his car, and rings the doorbell. And a man comes to the door, and he says, "I don't know why, but I'm here to give you this gallon of milk." And so immediately the man starts running down the hallway. And he runs down the hallway into the kitchen, and out comes a woman with a newborn baby, or a young baby. And the husband had explained what the man said at the door with the gallon of milk, and the woman came up and she said, "I had been praying for milk for my baby because we don't have money. Are you an angel?" And he was so taken back that he gave them every last cent that they had, or that he had. And he went on his way rejoicing because he had listened to the word and the voice of God. So our story today involves another man 2,000 years ago who obeyed an angel in the same way and later the Spirit of God along the road. So a few weeks ago, we talked about the Great Commission, right? Go, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey, and how that is cyclical, right? Once somebody comes to faith in Christ and they're baptized, their job is then to go, make disciples, right? We all have the Great Commission. So it's for everybody, not just a few. So how do we become disciple makers? Reaching people with the gospel. Our story about Philip includes four ingredients that I believe help us fulfill that commission. Sometimes we just need steps along the way. How do we become disciple makers? Now, this is an outline that I had found by a gentleman named Rick Boyne. I added some of my own things, but this outline puts forth these four elements, and I think they're really important. The first one is a prepared heart. A prepared heart. And I have some acronyms to help you remember, if you're good at remembering things with letters. The first thing is he was a VIP. Do you know what a VIP is, Xander? A very important person. Why? Because he was employed. He was in the service, not employed. He was still a slave. But he was in the service of Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. He had a very important position. He had worked himself up to be in charge of all her finances, the whole treasury. He was also a VRP, a very religious person. How do we know this? Well, he was seeking after the true God. He had traveled all the way from Ethiopia up to Jerusalem. He was a God worshiper. He had even traveled through different religious outposts until he was able to get to Jerusalem. He had actually traveled through Philistia and Gaza on his way up. He could have stopped anywhere, seeking other gods, false gods, but he kept going to be part of the temple worship, seeking the true God. Stopped at none until he got there. It's possible, though, that when he arrived at Jerusalem, he found an empty shell of the religion he sought. God's presence had been removed. The ark was missing. Maybe he returned coming back on the Gaza road, the same way he came, empty, hungry, still searching, still seeking. So now, in this instance, as he has the scroll and he's reading it, he is a VPP. He's giving me a very prepared person, right? God has this amazing ability to work with the soil of our hearts to prepare us to be able to receive the message of Christ, to receive the gospel. Sometimes it's through difficult circumstances that brings us to a point where the only thing that we can do is look up. But a softening, as people continue to share their testimonies and things that have gone on well in our lives, and we share those testimonies, that prepares the hearts of those that we are in the relationship with. So he was a very prepared person. It created a God-shaped vacuum or hole in his heart that only God could fill. So God's promise is this. It says in his word, Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. We need to be in a place where we are seeking God with all of our hearts. This eunuch had position. He had power. He had wealth, authority. But he was lost. He was undone before God, seeking, but he needed someone to come alongside and help. All of the wealth and all of the power and authority in the world cannot reveal God to us. So maybe that's you. Maybe you're like the Ethiopian. You have so many blessings and you search for fulfillment in the things that money could buy, but you're not happy and there's still something missing. The other side, you might be a Christian who's so occupied with your own life that you haven't been able to look around to see all the people that are searching for God, like this Ethiopian. Now, granted, we're not going to see them riding along in chariots along the road, but you might find them experimenting with different cults and false religions. Maybe you'll find them listening to the radio or TV evangelists. Maybe they're reading their Bibles and not truly understanding, or maybe they're just suffering and crying silently. Either way, we don't always have the eyes to see those that so desperately need to hear the gospel. They need somebody that's willing to chase down their chariot. Which brings us to number two, a prompt soul winner. I love that the way that that showed that in the clip, because it had Philip just standing there, and he has this wonderful, successful ministry, and the angel comes, and he says to go, and what does Philip go? It was like this immediacy. Peter says, I'm going to keep going my way. You just go. Go now. Go now. So it was a prompt soul winner. The eunuch is an AARP. All right. Not old enough to be retired, most likely. But he was accessible. That's the first A. He's a layman. He's not highly taught, but he was accessible to hear what God wanted him to do. And that question is for us. What about us? Are we too busy for God to get our attention? Sometimes our families, our jobs, even church, we get very busy doing church. Amen? We're so busy that we can't obey God. He was having amazing success. You want to think about it. What was going on in Samaria where Philip was ministering after he had left Jerusalem was such a big deal, and so much had gone back and reported back to Jerusalem that now Peter and John have traveled there to find out what's going on. So much is going on that the founders of the church are coming in to say, what's up with going on with Philip? And so he was there, just like you saw in the clip, to say, what, your work here is amazing. He left all the numbers, the fame, the excitement, for one encounter on the desert road. And actually, he left not even knowing what that would be. So the second A is he's available. He'd already been living among the Samaritans, already proved that he was available to share the gospel with anyone, even apparent enemies. And I know we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but sometimes we need to share the gospel with people that are not people that we like. That has nothing to do with it, right? The Samaritans were despised by the Jews because they had intermarried with pagans. And so Philip put all of that aside, put all of that kind of bias aside, and went and ministered to the very people that were perceived enemies of the Jewish people, and had a successful ministry in doing so. The next letter is R, A-A-R, right? Ready. He was ready to go when God wanted him to do it. Even if that meant leaving his successful ministry to get down to the desert road. And don't forget, he was a layman. Could have been some of these kind of things. Like maybe he was saying, maybe I don't have all the right answers. Maybe I really can't talk to this really important person in the chariot. Maybe I don't have the credentials about me. And that has nothing to do with it. We don't have to feel worthy because God is worthy. God prepares us. He might have asked, what if he asked a question that I can't answer? Have you ever heard that? Ever felt that? You want to share your faith with somebody, but you're afraid you don't know all the answers. You don't know your Bible well enough. I don't have all the answers. Well, God doesn't care about that, right? We just need to be able to be obedient and share our faith, and God will provide. And the last one is P, prompt. He immediately obeyed the Lord. He didn't necessarily see them coming down the road, but heard the prophet. The reading of the prophet, and then immediately responded to the Spirit's prompting to speak with the eunuch after he heard him reading Isaiah 53. So he responded immediately to what God had asked him to do. Which brings us to number three, a pertinent scripture. I don't think it's any mistake that the eunuch was reading from Isaiah 53. And why is this incredible? Well, first, it speaks about sacrifice. That particular passage talked about he was led like a lamb to the slaughter, as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. He understood the essence of what sacrifice was. It's possible, too, that as he traveled from Ethiopia to Jerusalem, he brought a sacrifice, understanding the temple worship and that that was required. So he must have understood what it meant to have a sacrifice. The passage also talks about solitude, and I love this, too. The passage says, who shall speak of his descendants? Now, who would understand that more than a eunuch? Right? He was a slave that was emasculated. It was impossible for him to have children. Who might understand that passage more than a eunuch? Amen? And finally, that passage speaks of a savior. Specifically, it says in Isaiah 53:6, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And so in reading the scripture, the eunuch is saying, who does he speak of? Is he speaking of himself, or is he speaking of someone else? And at that time, then it opens up the door for Philip to say, oh no, there's somebody greater, and point him directly to Jesus. Jesus is the one who takes away the sin of the world. This is what the eunuch was looking for. He was hungry, he was thirsty for a savior. And Philip was able to tell him exactly what the passage is about. Which brings us to number four, a personal salvation. A simple encounter on a desert road, this one-on-one relationship between Philip and the eunuch in the chariot, led to the salvation of this eunuch. He heard the message. He understood it because Philip helped him and took the time. He believed in his heart and he was saved. It's that simple, a simple personal salvation. And he was so excited about his newfound faith that upon seeing the water, he asked, what is to prevent me from being baptized? Right? This is a complete aside. When I initially started serving at my former church, I had come out of a Presbyterian background. I have the little Bible that was given to me upon my baptism, little Psalms, New Testament, tiny little white Bible with my name inscribed in the front page. And so I was baptized as a baby. And when I started serving, I was recently a part of the Assemblies of God, never kind of understood the difference between infant baptism and baptism by immersion. And the pastor, bless his heart, kept asking me to be baptized. And I kept saying, I'm good. I've been baptized. And there was something, a very instrumental thing that happened in our life. When we were struggling financially, our family, I saw God do an amazing thing in our life, just completely turned around a situation that was very scary for us. And I knew at that moment, when God had moved so dramatically in my life, that I needed to be obedient. That the scripture tells us that we are to be, to repent, to believe, and then be baptized. That's what the Bible says. In the book of Acts, it's very clear. The pattern is that those come to faith in Christ, and then they're baptized. Amen? And so, who was I to say no? And I think what happens is that we don't ask that question. What's to prevent us from being baptized? Right? We're having a baptism service June 28th. And I can think of no reason of why anybody that might be a believer in Christ and is yet to be baptized by immersion, I can't think of any reason that anybody can give for not being obedient. If you've seen the power of God in your life, if you've witnessed and you believe that God is truly your Savior, then you need to get in the water. That's it. Because that's obedience. I saw God do a miracle, and our life changed. Every step of obedience we've taken along the way has yielded so many blessings that I can't even describe. And you would attest to that, right? Every step that we take to do what God has asked us to do always brings blessings. Who more than this eunuch? And this is the thing, like, we come up with all kinds of excuses. I'm not quite ready yet. I'm not sure. Tom and I had this conversation because I don't understand why anybody wouldn't just get in the water. Even though I came up with all those excuses, now I'm just like, I can't imagine why anybody wouldn't just be baptized. Because once we make that decision, we need to step out in faith and profess that, a public declaration. There's power in the symbol, in the washing of the water. So this eunuch is in the chariot, right? He's emasculated, and he's outside the church. He's a Gentile. And he says, what's to prevent me from being baptized? And the answer for Philip is nothing. Nothing. The only requirement is that we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's it. We don't have to get our act all together. We don't have to be perfect, but we just need to believe and then get in the water. Deuteronomy 23:1 says this, "No one who has been emasculated by crushing or cutting may enter the assembly of the Lord." Do you think that this eunuch might have known the scriptures? Quite possible. Do you think Philip did? Quite possible. And yet, there was nothing to prevent him from getting in the water. So they get out of the chariot, and they hop down, and Philip baptizes him, and then the Spirit of God just whisks him away. The eunuch doesn't even have a chance to say, thanks. Like nothing. Philip is gone. His ministry has moved to a different location. And it says that he goes off rejoicing because of what God had done. I wish I had that picture of Sarah up there again. The perfect baptism. She came out of the water, and it made such a difference for her because she finally moved in an area that she just desperately needed to move. The beauty is that with Jesus, all are welcome, right? We might put all these stumbling blocks, but with Jesus, everybody is welcome. No one is turned away. John 6:37 says this, "Those that the Father has given me will come to me, and I will never reject them." Isn't that awesome news? We might be rejected by men. Even Jesus was rejected by men. It says in the same scripture, a man of sorrows, familiar with suffering. But with Jesus, we're never rejected. We're always welcome. That's the good news. Those that are thirsty, those that are hungry, we come unto him and drink from the water of life. And we are never turned away. And that's the good news of the gospel, amen? We have a Savior that loves us, that invites us to participate. And I just encourage you, now, I know I did a whole thing on baptism, so if you've not been baptized yet and you are a believer, baptized by immersion, okay? And you can do your own research yourself. Go through the book of Acts and look through the pattern. The pattern is right there for you to read. We believe and we're baptized. Would you come up here for a minute? Come on. Okay, I'll go to you. Mary. I love Mary.
Hi.
If I were to ask you that you took a step of faith and were baptized in January, could you just share what that might have meant to you at that minute? Would you mind? You don't have to look at anybody. You can just look at me.
What it meant to me in that minute?
Yeah. How? Yes.
To me, it meant everything. To sum it up, it was amazing.
I just put Mary on the spot. But that's what it is, right? It means everything. And now Rose is taking that step. And I know there are more. There are more that need to take that step. And so I'm just going to encourage you to talk with me afterwards. We're having a class next week about baptism. I'll give you the material ahead of time. You can read about it, what the scriptures say. And I just encourage you. It's an exciting thing. For me, when I finally made that step of baptism, I felt like so much stuff just washed off of me. That symbolism that we are dead to our sins, right? When you go under the water and then back up again in new life, that's powerful. It's powerful. Don't deny yourself that experience. I tell you, it's powerful. Let's close in prayer. I thank you, Lord, that you've given us this wonderful example of obedience in so many ways in Philip, God, in listening to the Spirit of God and just doing exactly what you've asked him to do, and how much that bears fruit, not only in his life as he had a continued ministry as he moved on, but man, the eunuch, and how that changed a nation. Christian tradition, oh God, tells us that the eunuch went back and shared his faith with Candace. And that by the time that they traveled down, the next apostles traveled down to Ethiopia, that a church was already there. And so, God, that fruit of that one encounter can mean the difference for so many lives. And we thank you, God, that in our obedience to doing what you've asked us to do, God, that there is fruit that is born and that is grows. But, God, we don't always see it. We don't see it in the natural. But, God, we just need to trust you, God, that every seed that is sown will bear fruit, oh God. And so we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that that the eunuch was seeking. And for all those today, God, that continue to seek to find you, God, we know that your word tells us in promise that those who seek with all of their hearts will find you. And so, God, that you are here, you are available, you are listening, that you are seeking to continue that relationship or to start relationships with those that haven't done that yet. And so, God, we just thank you, O Lord, for your faithfulness in all things. We thank you, Lord, that we can participate in the mighty work that you have for us to do. May we always be obedient to the promptings of the Spirit within us. May we always have the eyes to be able to see those that so desperately need to hear the good news of who you are. Continue to bless us as we go forth. Encourage each and every one that's gathered here tonight, oh God, as they continue to work out their salvation. It says in the scriptures, with fear and trembling, we just work these things out in awe of who you are. And God, we ask for your continued provision for Hannah Schwartz this morning, God, as she continues to step out in faith in what you've called her to do, oh God. I pray your protection upon her, oh Lord, that the heavenly angels would be around her as she continues the last few days of itineration and visiting with churches, God. I pray, Lord, that you soften the hearts of each one that receives an email from her or a phone call, oh God, that you would move in the hearts of your people, God, and get her to that mission field, oh Lord. You have prepared a place not to have her sit for a few months just waiting, oh God, but to get to that field and be active, oh Lord, just like Philip. And so, God, we just pray, Lord, for that provision, but for protection upon her and her whole missions team. Prepare those hearts even now in India, oh God. Raise up leaders in that country to reach the lost for Christ. And we ask all these things in the precious holy name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen. Be blessed.